Pat Bostic, pit color analyst from 93.7 The Fan. You hear him during Panthers games, and you watched him play quarterback at Pitt. We call this segment the Pit Boss. How are you, Mr. Bostic?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
We've never been better, and we appreciate you asking. And the game the other day was just amazing in a lot of ways. I mean, Pitt gets out to a 24-3 lead, 27-10, and then it just kind of all falls to pieces. I still think there were some positives in the game, Pat, but it's just kind of hard to look at it when you blow a lead like that and wonder what went wrong, particularly on the offensive side. A lot of people felt like Pitt should have been a little bit more deliberate in terms of running the play clock with a big lead in the second half. Your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was obviously a disappointing loss. You dominate a game for all intents and purposes for 2 3/4 quarters. You got 24-3 with 3:11 left in the third. You think you're going to win the football game. And obviously Iowa did a great job. Vandenberg was lights out the last quarter. Keenan Davis, his receivers, McNutt, those guys were spectacular. They made great catches and in key situations, and they capitalized. But as far as a change in offensive philosophy, I thought the plays were there. I thought if you execute, and I thought the execution dropped off a little bit going into the fourth quarter, if you execute, these questions don't even arise. Obviously, they're legitimate questions in hindsight, but I liked the calls on game day. I thought they were in a great position to win the football game, and it just it got away from them.
Well, I guess I got to talk about Tino. I said I was rooting for Tino. I couldn't wait for Tino to show everybody that he's getting it, because obviously this is very new to him, and to learn under live bullets is very hard to do. I thought this was his best game, but if he could take away two throws, we wouldn't be having this discussion. How did you think he progressed into this game?
Well, I completely agree with you. I thought it was his best game. I think he showed a lot of progress, a lot of mental toughness. After Maine, obviously it was a lot of talk about his performance and his play up to that point, and I thought he answered everybody's criticisms. Obviously, still turned the ball over 3 times, got the fumble to start the game. Got to eliminate those plays, but his decision-making on the whole was much better. He got the football out of his hand. Still took a couple sacks, I think, that he would tell you he can avoid. But overall, he was efficient. He made big throws. He had explosive plays. Obviously, the touchdown to Street was a thing of beauty. And he had a couple other nice throws, too, on corner routes. He put the ball right on time, and if he was a split second later, the ball's probably tipped or picked. I thought he was on point for the bulk of the game. Those two picks weren't bad decisions. I thought his decision-making process throughout the game was very good. Just poor throws. And a couple feet higher, and we're not having this discussion about disappointment. We're having a discussion about a truly great performance. So I think little things will be corrected, and then he can be very good in the system. I think he showed that throughout the game.
Talking to Pat Bostic here on 93.7 The Fan. And Pat, it seems to be kind of a repeated pattern with Tino on those types of throws, the ones that are down the field a little bit. From a quarterback's perspective, I thought a guy who was very underrated at making those types of throws, and granted, he had Larry Fitzgerald on the other end, but he always gave Fitzgerald a chance, and that was Rod Rutherford, kind of those up-for-grab throws where you got one-on-one coverage. You got to give your receiver a chance, and on those two the other day, the receivers had no chance. What goes wrong for Tino on those types of throws?
Well, the point of difference between the kind of throw you're talking about and those two throws were they were not one-on-one coverage situations. They were both cover two defenses. I got a chance to evaluate those throws today. Cover two, the corner was up. The safety was deep. They had two vertical routes on each play. And the inside vertical kept the safety inside. So naturally, you got to throw the ball over the corner to get to the outside receiver. And the ball just didn't have enough trajectory on both picks. Was the same exact route combination. Now, interestingly enough, early in the third quarter, he hit Devin Street on the same exact throw down the right sideline to go in and eventually lead to his touchdown pass to Drew Carswell. So he's capable of making the throw, I think, make it to his left. I think he rushed one of them and tried to put a little too much heat on it, maybe to put a little more touch on it, a little more trajectory. And the first pick of the game that was towards like the 2-yard line, I thought he was late. And those are the things that you kick yourself about, because you have two probably either big plays or touchdowns, and if he makes those throws, it's a completely different game. But like I said, he played extremely well, really grew in the system, I thought, looked really efficient for 80%, 85% of the game. Just needs to iron out a few little details, and I think he can be the right guy for this system and take Pitt very far.
So just to get clear on the two throws that went awry there, you're saying those were both into cover two and not one-on-one coverage, even though it kind of looked from just looking at the screen like it would have been a jump ball situation in both.
Right, yeah, the corner's underneath playing the flat. So he baited Tino a little bit, and Tino thinking, okay, I can just shoot this ball in there, and he baited him and came into the throwing lane and made the play. If the ball has a little more air on it, it's a different story, I think. And like I said, that's a difference. A couple feet can be the difference between a pick and a touchdown.
Pat Bostick on 93.7 The Fan.
And, Pat, obviously another one of those, it was arguably going to be his best drive until he threw the one, I believe, the Shanahan. You're right, it didn't have enough projector in the ball, but it was coming right after a 25-yard run on his part. Anything to do with the legs on those, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. Obviously, I'm not in his shoes, but he did. He had a couple Houdini type runs during that game where he looked like he was dead to rights and spun out of there and kind of got out of jail free and got big gains.
I mean, I don't know how you can. No one could blame this one on Tino. I mean, that, you know, people like to do it. It's easy to do, but there are a lot of reasons why this game was lost. And I just want to ask you what your thoughts were with special teams. I mean, I'll talk to you about a couple of things that I just saw. When you score a touchdown, you can't kick the ball out of bounds. They did that. They got the ball at the 40, and they got 7 from that. Every time the returners caught the ball, you know, they were going backwards first, and then they started to go forward. And Tino, I don't know why they still have him doing these punts. When you're on the road and you're in Iowa, get the punter in there so they can do the – I'm tired of seeing these touchbacks. You know, you need the field position. And the fair – I mean, there's punts that are shanked. I mean, the special teams in the return game didn't look as clean to me as I thought it should, especially on the road.
Yeah, Coach Graham addressed that after the game. The special teams the field position battle that you wage on the special teams side of things is so key, especially when you're playing a until the fourth quarter, I was a very ball-control-oriented team. And to make them have long fields and have long drives is advantageous to you. I thought the two punts by Tino, I happen to think that's a nice wrinkle. You're in a situation where you don't have anyone deep. If the ball stops, again, we're not talking about this. So it takes a little luck at times. I thought the one was going to stop and they were going to down it at the one-yard line. But it grew legs and went into the end zone. And the first one had a little head of steam and was a little low. But obviously, you know, special teams, I thought there were some misjudgments on returns. Guys going backwards, that's tough to change momentum. I don't know what it was. It was a little windy down there. I don't know how much that had to do with it. But, yeah, that's got to get cleaned up. Special teams, a lot of people don't realize. You probably realize because it was that was your meal ticket, how important it is.
But going forward with this team, people just thought they were going to get blown out. It wasn't the case. They actually should have won this game for many reasons. How do you like the state of the mind on this team and going forward? What do you see in this team?
When I walked away from that game, I thought the better team lost. And that, as much as that was disappointing and left a sour taste in my mouth, I was very encouraged. I thought I saw a different football team in that game in a hostile environment on the road at Iowa than I saw in the previous 2 weeks. Probably a better team in that game than all the good things from those two games combined. They did a lot right. The defensive line was stellar. They held a rushing attack that was averaging well over 160 yards a game to under 80. Pass defense flipped late. I thought things schematically led to that. I thought there were some mental errors and some plays that were just, you know, messed up that led to big plays. But I think this is the makings of a really good team. I think they showed for 2.5 quarters or 2.75 quarters how good they can be on offense and on defense. So I'm excited about the rest of the year. I'm excited for ND to come to town.
That pregame meal, did you eat a steak the size of your face? What did you eat in Iowa?
I had 70 ears of corn.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
Pat, we appreciate you taking the time. Very good stuff, as always, on the Pit Boss. Hopefully we'll talk to you later in the week about Notre Dame.
Oh, man, I look forward to it. Thanks, guys, for having me on.